Hey, welcome back. This is Modern Business Podcast, the podcast for franchise entrepreneurs and franchise entrepreneurs. I'm very pleased to say that we are in Newport Beach, California.
So much nicer.
It's so much nicer. We were kind of inland a little bit, and it was, 15 degrees hotter?
15 degrees hotter.
But it's feeling really good, and we are at the headquarters of Mountain Mike's Pizza. Very excited to have a full house today. Quite literally, when I say full house, we have a full house because we have three folks that we're connecting with today and chatting with, and then we have another kind of crowd, a little audience of another three. But anyways, Zach, top of the house announcements.
Well, number one, I'm really happy to be along the ocean now. I have to say I could get used to this. It is the 15 degree difference means that we're not going to have to go home and change at this point, which I think is pretty nice. But we're excited
to be
here.
I like that you say home because we're kind of camped out here. We were on the road and then we're here for 3 days, which is great.
We're not going back. We're going to be on the road forever. But I'm looking forward to having you guys all on. And, you know, I think that we were just saying there is going to be announcements that we'll have. I don't have this brand in Chicago, so I am obviously really interested and eager to learn about new brands that I don't know a lot about. And so we're looking forward to having on a whole host of folks here. So, you know, to kick it off and to get into everything, I'm going to go around the table and I'm going to kind of get everybody familiar and so people can visualize. So we have on one of the co-CEOs of Mountain Mike's, we have Chris Britt. And we also have the president and COO of Mountain Mike's. We have Jim Metivier. I know. I didn't quite nail it.
Can we get a correction?
Metivier.
Okay.
It's close.
And I want everybody to know that I nailed it in the car and I just butchered it now. Yeah. So that's really, I'm not going to live that one down. And then the last person I have is the other co-CEO of Mountain Mike's. We have Ed St. James. So thanks everybody for hopping on.
We're going to give you guys all a round of applause.
Thank you.
Already getting their ego going already, huh? So what I want to do, and I would love to hear from both Chris and Ed about, you know, the founding story of the brand and, you know, just talk a bit about that between two of you. I'm sure that you guys probably tandem this story a lot. So whoever would like to start, we'd love to do that.
Yeah, I think I can start with that. This is Chris Britt. First of all, welcome to Newport. Welcome to Mountain Mike's. Very happy to have you guys here. So Ed and I, you know, I think for us, first of all, Mountain Mike's is a brand that's been around since 1978. Mm-hmm. So we're in our 43rd year. The very first restaurant was right on the border of Stanford University, where Ed and I went to college. So we can't take credit for founding the restaurant, but we can't take credit for being an early customer in restaurant number one.
Sure.
And the background how Mountain Mike's really is, you know, pizza and the people, the pizza business, some Shakey's backgrounds, a Round Table background, came together to start the concept. But Ed and I first experienced it back then. And you know, that restaurant today is a Starbucks, we might add. It's no longer a Mountain Mike's pizza restaurant. But then Ed and I, you know, graduated from Stanford and, you know, ultimately, you know, started our careers as investors, private equity, real estate. And ultimately, we became franchisees ourselves. So a little known fact is at one point we were Burger King franchisees for 10 years. And we owned 43 Burger King restaurants. So we became really excited about the franchise space.
Sounds like Stanford guys to me.
And, you know, and we learned what it was like to be franchisees. So Mountain Mike's is known for pizza the way it ought to be. And I know Jim's going to tell us all about that in a minute. But from our perspective, we wanted to have a concept where it's franchiseeship the way it should be. So that's the way we kind of move things forward. We acquired the brand in April 2017 and set about to bring in real leaders, some such as Jim and others, to move the brand forward and really take advantage of the opportunity that is available to Mountain Mike's. And Ed, what would you add to that?
What would I add to that? Yeah, I mean, I think both of Chris's and my background is, I guess, what I would describe as location-based four-wall businesses, retail, restaurant, in addition to the Burger King experience that Chris alluded to, both public and private. And so it was following the Burger King experience. We were invested in that from 2004 to 2014. Mm-hmm. It was not that long after that that we sort of re-collaborated and started looking particularly for those kinds of businesses. And it was that one, serendipitously, the Mountain Mike's opportunity hit our desks. And again, we hearkened back to our knowledge of that first unit. We didn't know it was the first unit at the time, but as we learned in diligence that it was the first unit and we did further research on the brand, we became quite excited about the history of the brand, but also the opportunity and the future of the brand. So
that's beautiful. I'm very curious to hear what you have to say, Jim. Pizza, how it ought to be. What does that mean?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. Yeah, we're all about pizza the way it ought to be. For us, it's about dough made fresh daily, right? Elevated ingredients. Like we have, first of all, have you guys even tried our pizza yet?
I've had it one time.
Okay, when did you have it?
I think I had it probably like 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
It's been a little while.
Do you remember where? Which location by chance?
It was in California. I don't remember where. I believe it was up closer towards... it was up closer to where my grandparents live in Beverly Hills. There was a location like sort of close by there.
Great. And what do you remember about it?
I remember that I come from one of the places where pizza is very much thought as being the best. I don't, who knows? We're not going to get into that debate,
but I don't think
we should go down that rabbit hole because we have East Coast listeners that have gotten on my case and we've argued with drinks in hand many a time. So we won't do that now, but I think that it was there isn't really anything like that in Chicago because it's just a very different feel. Because West Coast, like on the West Coast, and the way that you guys do things is just different feeling. It's a lot more laid back than what I'm used to. I mean, I lived in New York, so it's very fast paced normally. But I mean, I think that New York in Chicago, kind of Chicago's a little ratcheted down. Then California was like very laid back and kind of collected, which I liked. It was a different ambiance to me.
Yeah. Yeah. For us, I mean, we're all about the pizza. And that's why we call it pizza the way it ought to be. And in every single one of our restaurants, we do dough made fresh daily, right? Mm-hmm. So we think that's most important because that's the foundation of the great pie. And then we make our sauce in the restaurants. We actually shred our cheese. We shred our vegetables. It was kind of a joke when I first were talking to Chris and Ed and we visited some restaurants together. And I watched how they made the pizzas. I had worked in other pizza brands. Let's just say I won't name them. I was just like, doesn't the cheese come in bags? Doesn't it come shredded? Isn't the vegetables pre-chopped? And no, I mean, we have a passion for our pizza. We have a passion for our franchisees. And that's what we hope comes across to all of our guests. And so, yeah, it's real authentic products that make the perfect pizza. One of the things that we're known for is our legendary crispy curly pepperoni. So I'm guessing you may or you may not have it.
I did have that.
And any memories, great joyful memories that you have? Or
I think so. I'm the only person in my family that's a pepperoni person for the most part.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't really even eat a lot of pizza anymore just because I just don't. I don't know. But I mean, I think that I'm trying to stay fit, guys. What can I say?
Hey, man.
I think that at the end of the day, that is like my favorite type of thing. Yeah. And very rarely, people in Chicago don't do it that way. It's very different.
Yeah, so our pepperonis, I like to call them little teacups of joy. That's just me personally. But the reason we do that is because they're smaller diameter, but they actually curl up and crisp around the edges when you have it. And they're filled with joy. You know, whatever you want to call that, but a liquid joy, I'd say. But they're fantastic pepperonis. And so we're very much known for that. And you'll see that in all of our imaging. But our pizza is where we've started 43 years ago. We haven't really changed it in 43 years. And it's what our guests are just crazy about.
What about the mountain? We didn't talk about the mountain. We also have the largest size pizza of any of the top 20 chains, I believe.
Yeah.
Where you not only get a pepperoni in every bite. It's probably two pepperonis in every bite.
It could be more. So have you seen the mountain? So we got to get you.
I have not seen the mountain.
All right, after you leave
here.
You
got to climb the mountain.
Yeah, that's right. We've got two restaurants nearby and you got to try our product. But it's a 20-inch pie. We actually put a whole pound of cheese on that pizza and over 200 pepperonis.
Guys, we need to make it home. I don't. We need to make it.
It'll be fine.
Here's a tip.
Can't go to sleep after this.
When you pick, just bend your legs when you pick up the.
That's right.
The pizza.
So this is our workout for the day.
Just to make sure I heard right. This pizza has a pound of cheese.
Yeah.
And over 200 little teacups of joy on it.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a party and everybody.
Do we have to just do it with just the two of us? Can there be other people?
You can bring people. Bring other people. You know, that's the other thing that our brand is known for. We're all about gathering people together and celebrating community, whether it's your family or whomever you define as your community, around the best pizza in the world. So that's one of our pillars.
Yeah,
so
in fact, if you want to see the definition of wonder and awestruck in little kids, bring them to a Mountain Mike's, order a Mountain Mike's mountain-sized pepperoni, bring it out, open the box up, watch.
See wonder and awestruck.
Watch the joy.
Watch the joy.
Exactly. Watch the joy. And actually, he's not joking about that, because some of the stuff we put on social media, we get some consumers who will send pictures. And my favorite pictures, she might be showing one right now, is like little kids who are just overwhelmed. There you go. There's a pizza. There's a cheese pull right there. But it's an experience. You definitely have to experience it.
So passion for the pizza, for the pie.
Yeah.
And passion for the franchisees you mentioned as well, you know, kind of taking care of the franchisee done right. Now you want a franchisor done right.
Right.
What else differentiates you? Because you mentioned top 20 pizza chains, a lot of different options out there. And this is, you can take this either or both, consumer and the franchise development world. What differentiates you guys?
Yeah. There's two other passions. I'll let you jump in. But we have a passion for our community. So all of our franchisees, the expectation is that they're a pillar in that community. They're not just there to take an order and deliver a pizza, but we want them to actually be engaged and a part of that community and serve the communities that they're in. And so that's a key piece. And then the other thing that you'll see for us is we're also very passionate about sports. So we're actually the official pizza of the San Francisco 49ers.
Niners.
Yeah, which they did really well. A couple of years ago, they were in the Super Bowl.
Of course.
Which was fantastic. And we have a partnership for the next few years with them as well. And so, you know, it makes a lot of sense for Mountain Mike's. The majority of our restaurants are in that Bay Area. So it was a really good connection and partnership. We also have had other partnerships historically with the Warriors, with the Giants. And we're looking at other sports teams. But again, it's a place that you can come and you can gather and you can watch your favorite team. Mom or dad can have a beer or a glass of wine. Little Johnny or Susie can go play some arcade games. Or you can have your Little League game and the whole crew comes in and piles around a bunch of mountains and just has a really good time.
Yeah, so it's the whole experience. So unlike a lot of brands who have moved strictly to, say, delivery and carry out, and we still hold that standard for dine-in, and we're seeing that come back now, and we were really strong with that pre-COVID. But yeah, it's that whole dine-in, delivery, and carry-out with really great pizza that really distinguishes Mountain Mike's.
So, you know, in addition to the differentiation that you guys have with the product, because I think that's obviously really important, you know, people aren't going to come if the product isn't good. Talk a bit, and whoever is the quote-unquote technology guru of the three of you, and it may be a division of all three, maybe, but I would love to just hear a bit about how you guys are using technology within the locations. Maybe it's off-premise, on-premise, and just tools the franchisees have to be able to be successful. Now, talk a bit about how you guys are using that to, you know, set yourselves apart from, you know, what is, and we all know this, it is, the pizza space is crowded. So it's important to stand out somehow.
Who wants to be the technology guru today?
Well, I think we're all pointing at each other, but I think it is a group.
And for
group
folks that can't see, they were literally all pointing at each other with their eyes, of course.
Yeah. And we have, you know, we've got a plan, believe me. But I think we'd start off by saying, look, when we took over Mountain Mike's in April of 17, Mountain Mike's did not even have an online ordering presence. So, I mean, one of the first things you want to do to help your franchisees, oops, you almost fell off your chair there, Ryan.
I wish everybody saw that.
I'm still daydreaming about this.
The
big
pizza,
mountain,
the mountain.
Mountain.
Pizza.
The mountain.
Do we need to take a break?
Here's the deal. I just had lunch.
Anyway, so there was no online ordering presence. So one of the things we quickly brought to the table was that, of course, you know, you gotta make your pizza accessible to everybody. And I think, you know, we ended up with one of the best mobile web ordering platforms fairly quickly after we acquired the brand. Of course, you got to have an app. So, you know, Jim will speak to more of that shortly. But we just recently introduced the app. But statistically, I mean, literally going into COVID, 20% of our sales were online. Now it's low 40s. It's 42% of our business is now digital. And we've only just recently introduced the app. So that has driven a lot of business, I think, for our franchisees. It's a terrific experience. I'll put our mobile web and app experience up against anyone in the business.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to comment on is Just the addition of the third-party delivery platforms, which a lot of the franchisees in our space were really concerned about, thinking it might cannibalize their customers. Well, we did a lot of work on that with our franchisees to test that in various markets. We did firmly establish that the vast majority of that business is truly incremental. So if you want to reach those DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, Postmates customers, you got to be on those platforms. Mm-hmm. So we've integrated those platforms into our POS, makes it very easy for our franchisees to serve the business. We've seen very great results there. Those are two things I would point out. Jim, perhaps you can build on that, add to that.
Yeah, so when they came in 4 years ago, I mean, it's night and day, right? So even starting with just the website, the look and the feel, the consumer experience, yes, the mobile order is fantastic. Actually, it's really good. So good that our app that we actually just launched, I think it was May 17th, which we now have over 30,000 users on in less than 4 weeks. We actually took that mobile order experience and we wrapped it around a loyalty program within an app. And so that's actually going to drive much more loyalty with our guests, and we can actually market to them very customized in a way. Chris, to your point about third-party delivery, that was no small feat. But, you know, one of the advantages that we have, we came in, you know, I've worked across lots of systems in 30 years. One of the things people struggle with is a one solution POS. And so we thankfully, we weren't there when they bought the company, but we are there now. We have 100% of our franchisees on the same POS platform, which allows us to drive the technology in kind of a one best way approach. And they're really good partners. We're over 90% of their business. So when we look for solutions for our franchisees, they very much listen because they know
they're screwed if they don't.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. I didn't say it, but you did.
To put a finer point on that, so these guys know that it was part of Mountain Mike's when we acquired the brand, but it spun out.
Yeah.
Right. Connection with are taking over the brand. So it's a true strategic partner, as Jim said. And we should also point out, as Ed and I know, because we love looking at data, is it's a real great business intelligence tool because it allows our franchisees as well as our franchise support center to evaluate how they're doing, you know, whether it be product mix or labor, you know, or other aspects of the business. It's truly a great tool for our franchisees.
Right. Yep. And then we're also looking at other ways to help our franchisees with technology. We haven't started testing, but we're looking at AI technology on answering telephones and things like that, just so that they can, you know, help with labor issues, which I'm sure you guys are going to bring up.
It's coming soon.
Yeah, I'm. But you know, but for us, the heart of the brand and the connectivity with our guests is so important. We're very slow moving on things that might potentially impact that, but we're always looking around the corner at what the latest and greatest trends are and trying to see what makes sense for Mount Mike's.
Beautiful. Before we get into that other topic, one thing I want to ask about, you know, we've had the opportunity to meet with a lot of folks prior to this tour that we're on and just in our normal days and weeks and months. And, you know, through the pandemic we forgot to do some plugs at the top, but we have a conference called Springboard and we had this whole series called Springboard at Home. And each week we brought two or three leaders on and it was kind of like, now it sounds terrible because we're all Zoomed out. We've done enough Zoom calls, but we would hear about
this was April of last year.
Yeah,
so all of the Zoom was just an idea to most of us.
Yeah, and that's back when the Zoom happy hours were like a fun thing, and now it's just like, oh geez, I got it. Why did I get an invite for this? But we heard a lot about the innovations that folks were making, and one of the areas that people had to innovate was menu innovation, and there were a lot of opportunities that came out of that. So, curious to throw this over to you guys. Menu innovations on that topic, did through the COVID experience and beyond, or maybe even from when you acquired the brand until now, just talk about menu innovation.
So actually, the interesting thing is when I started, I think you guys had just brought out the newest product in I don't know how many years, but which was really just some wings extensions and flavors and things like that. But it was a very well done, professionalized LTO and menu extension. And we got a lot of bump from that. We actually drove system sales through that. We're very passionate about our product. And so as we look at either modifying our current product or bringing new products to the table, we always want to make sure that it meets that level of excellence, let's just say. Our guests are so loyal and passionate about what we do. if you don't step in the right direction, you put a lot of things at risk. So we're very slow about what do we want to throw on the menu. So I'm not going to throw a taco pizza on there just because somebody goes, hey, here's an interesting insight. I fully understand the power of LTOs and news, but we have a lot of news that people don't even know about, in the sense that I think Carol, who's over in our corner of the room with the other folks in the audience, she's always said that we are the best kept secret in pizza. And that secret's now getting out. But people not, I mean, you didn't even know about our mountain. You didn't know about our pepperoni. And so even when we just talk about those things, we get a lot of trial from people. And we were just talking about it this morning. 100% of the people each of us know, and probably these folks over here, if you get someone to try our pizza, that's it. They're hooked. They're like, this is the best pizza I have. Even people from Chicago, I'm sure. This is the best pizza I've ever had.
And it's a hard sell, but I mean, you hey, gotta try you, it. I'm going to have to try it again.
Yeah.
We'll see.
There yeah, absolutely. So so through COVID, though, we're always on an innovation path, right? We have our team always looking at where are the holes in our menu? What should we add to it? And of course, we're always looking at, for me and my team, it's got to win from a consumer perspective, just like I talked about. It's got to have that level of excellence, that pizza the way it ought to be. It's got to fit in the footprint of our operations. So don't throw in something that doesn't make sense and the operators, it blows things up. And then at the end of the day, is it making money for our franchisees? If it's not and it just drives the sales, but they're not making money off it, that's a non-starter for us. So we're very disciplined about that. Now, that's a long answer to get to. We did not launch any new products through COVID, nor did we have to, because, you know, in March, and you can stop me if I'm sharing too much, but in March last year when COVID hit, there was a couple weeks that everyone thought the sky was falling and they sheltered in place and people didn't know what to do. And so we all saw a little bit of a dip in business. For us, we lost 25% of our business because it was dine-in, but we did not lose 25% of sales. So we actually made up that in delivery and carryout. But then we were positive the third week forward the rest of the year. And I'm talking about double digit strong positive, even though we lost 25%, because people were trying our brand and the people who already knew our brand were using it over and over again. So we got huge loyalty and a response to that. And when we looked at just our delivery and carryout sales, even Q4 of last year, we ran over 40% year over year. Q1 of this year, over 50% sales increase. So so when you're doing stuff like that, you know, you don't need to throw something out there and say, hey, I need more noise. It's like, let's just do what we're doing right.
That's the definition of a winning hand. Because when you look at Mountain Mike's, 85% of our sales are pizza.
Yeah.
So we have tremendous opportunity elsewhere, but we're getting incredible growth. We're getting our passionate, loyal customers ordering more. And Mountain Mike's does have among the most passionate, loyal guests you will see. But we also got a lot of incremental customers, and it's really the quality of the pizza. So we have a lot of things that we're thinking about, you know, in other areas of the menu, but gosh, you know, pizza, if you have great pizza, you don't want to mess with it.
Yeah. So we actually did have one that we were testing and we waited for the right time, which was May. And we're actually still making a permanent menu. Did I let that out of the can? Okay.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah,
hold
I know.
On. Right. We got to do our little...
Bam! Nice.
There you go.
It's like a Letterman thing.
Love
or something.
It. Love it. Beautiful.
So we came out in May with a product, a dessert product, as a LTO, and they're miniatures, which are bite-sized churros, and they're terrific. Okay, you had to have some kind of sound thing for that. Should I do it again?
Let's redo that.
You want me to redo the whole thing?
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm just playing.
What? But hey, anyway. Ben, put that in.
Yeah. But anyway, so we put that on the menu and huge, huge response. It was actually very, very highly incremental, like almost 100%. And it's a great product and it's complimentary and it's shareable. It's all the things that are in our positioning. And because people love them so much, they are terrific. We are going to keep them on the menu.
And it's not a topping yet to a pizza. It's a side.
It's a side. Yeah, you know. It's a compliment.
So is there a dessert pizza that would be a topping for?
No, but we have our desserts right now is we have a dessert pizza, which is really, really good. Uh-huh. We have a pizza cookie and we have miniatures. There's something for everyone.
Oh, man.
A very quick follow-up question that I have, because I think that's interesting. You're here in California, a place that was shut down arguably, you know, tougher than anywhere else. at least in the United States. I live in Dallas, Texas, so it was a lot different for me.
It was closed
for
like 3 weeks, and then it was over.
I talked with Zach.
Then we're done with this.
And I was literally case number one in Dallas, a whole separate story, which is actually quite interesting, but we'll save that for another day. And I talked with Zach in Chicago. They're completely shut down. Yeah. And so it's amazing to hear that you're able to weather that storm, down 25%. And you mentioned it, that's incremental growth. So like in the numbers that you're seeing now, maybe it's too early, but now we're here and things are opening. And I'm actually surprised that with the mass, it's not as like, anyways. But do you expect that to be an incremental growth because so many more people were introduced to the brand?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, we feel like those people are going to stick with the brand and we're just going to drive their frequency. The other piece is, you know, we're reopening dining. Because I think the mask mandate in California came off yesterday.
Yeah.
And so a lot more people are going to feel even more and more comfortable going back into our restaurants. I mean, some of the restaurants that we talked to this weekend, we're actually having parties again where they'll bring in, you know, groups and
fundraisers.
Right.
And,
right. You know. Yeah. So we see that as huge upside. So sky's the limit.
Huh. I mean, it's refreshing to hear that because I think that we were about 5 days behind you guys in Illinois. So we were the 11th. So it was very recent. As Ryan said, I would be talking to him and I would be sitting outside and it would be 37 degrees. And he would be looking at me like I was nuts. And I'd be like, well, I have to be outside of my apartment. I can't do this anymore. Okay. So, you know, I understand, except you guys had 70 degree weather. So I can't say that we were entirely in the same situation. But, you know, I want to get into some of the franchise development sides of things because, you know, you guys, as you mentioned before, were, you know, you started at around Stanford's campus in Palo Alto. Man, I cannot imagine a franchise brand in the food space starting up there now. But I mean, I think that back then it was very different.
Fun fact, by the way, I lived there for a little bit.
And another fun fact: most of my family went to Stanford.
No,
so
wow,
really?
I totally.
You might know them all.
I'm sure we might. We might need to get offline and talk about
yeah,
that. But
yeah.
I had many family members that went to Stanford, and they do not let you forget it. So I think that I did not. But what I will say is that, you know, as it relates to franchise development, you guys have historically been on the West Coast, right? I mean, that's something that we know. But you're starting to make some changes to go a little bit further east. That's why I haven't necessarily experienced the brand unless I'm here. So I'm curious to hear, you know, why would somebody want to bring, you know, your brand further eastward? I mean, I'm sure there are people, many people, moving from California to other places.
Bingo.
So, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity. So I'm curious to hear, you know, what thoughts there are with that and,
yeah,
you know, what the ideal person would be.
The ideal person, like our target market, like consumer, or ideal franchisee?
Ideal franchisee, yeah.
Yeah. So just to back up, yeah, we're a 43-year-old brand, and we have grown with our franchisees in-house organically, in a sense. So we have a lot of passionate franchisees who, the way they became franchisees is usually they either knew somebody, it could have been a relative, it could have been somebody at their church or whatever it might have been, and that word of mouth brought new franchisees in. As we do look to continue to expand outside the state, we have to find additional folks, although we do have some franchisees who are moving.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I have one that's moving to Texas that used to be a Mountain Mike's.
So, Ryan,
franchisee.
You'll be able to taste Mountain Mike's at home
soon
in 2022, for sure.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's
right. But we're looking at, you know, for me, franchisees, they all have to have a passion about food and about serving other people, right? I mean, it's what hopefully every restaurant concept has that same kind of thought process. But, you know, these are folks who are going to represent the brand in those communities. And then when we bring a franchisee into Discovery Day, which we interview every single franchisee personally to ensure that they share the same principles that we have of serving their communities, serving their teams and serving their guests in the right way. So we look at a variety of profiles. We're looking at single store operators, which we have historically, but we're also looking at multi-unit franchisees, which we've signed some agreements with most recently that have other brand experience, that are proven restaurateurs, as long as they share that same mindset that we have. And we think that, you know, pizza by itself is the best industry from a food perspective to be in. And so I think there's a lot of folks out there who understand that. We have a really strong business model. Can't get into that because it's not all in the FTD, but it's really strong. We have, I'll just tell you this, we have very, very little churn with our franchisees over 43 years. They all want to build more restaurants. The challenge for them is the majority are in Northern Cal and there's not that much white space. So we're opening in SoCal. We just went back into Nevada. We actually now have three in Oregon. We've got deals in Arizona. Yeah.
Colorado, Texas, Idaho.
Yeah, so we're eight states.
Developing in 8 states right now.
Yeah, for now. And we're going to continue to fill those in, and then we'll see what's next on top of that.
I mean, just to put a finer point on that, so 43-year-old brand at this point, I'd say for 41 and a half, 42 years or so, to Jim's point, purely organic growth. There was no franchise development formally, no external marketing. So all of that growth, granted, was mostly in California. The other point to your question, Zach, is we feel like if it's been proven in California, which clearly it has been, then there's much more fertile ground because California, mm-hmm. as we all know, can be a challenging place to operate. And yet we've thrived as a brand in the state of California.
That's actually a phenomenal, phenomenal point, and I agree with it. Real estate, like footprint wise, are you guys experimenting with going into different types of real estate? Is that on your mind? Have you tried anything? What are your thought processes there?
Yeah, so historically we've been between 2,500 and 3,500 square feet. Usually we love to have end caps, but we'll do inline. We do have a few freestanders, and we've had some that are over 5,000 square feet in a few situations, and some of them do really, really well at that size. But most recently, you know, we've been looking at some development in some real estate areas, and like kind of southern San Francisco area where real estate's very expensive, very tight, very hard to come by. And we actually are testing some smaller footprints, like 1,700 square feet. But we always we feel very strongly that our brand is built around gathering around great pizza, right? So we want to make sure that we're in the right communities and we give our guests the ability to gather, bring sports teams in, have some games to play, have a drink. We're not going to go to a delivery carryout model, but we are going to look at the opportunity of having a smaller footprint and see what that does overall to the
brand. Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is, again, just, you know, with respect to our franchisee focus, you know, we're trying to help them find opportunities to grow, not only with new space, but with all these conversion opportunities that have become available. Mm-hmm. With restaurants going out, unfortunately, due to COVID, we've had spent a lot of time with our real estate partner in uncovering these conversion opportunities, whether they be a pizza restaurant or an Italian restaurant or something where they're going to have, you know, the right footprint. They got a hood in. They've got some of the stuff already in there. To allow them to get a Mountain Mike's open with our new store design,
that's right,
which we've also introduced, at a lower cost, because the Mountain Mike's franchise opportunity, one of the best things about it is the return on investment prospects. You know, money in, return on investment. You know, Ed and I went into this with the belief that, look, we want our franchisee to be able to return all their capital on an unlevered basis within 3 years. That's, you know, pretty much a mantra on our ROI, and those conversion opportunities actually allow you an opportunity to do even better than that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So, you know, I want to get in, we'll get into the question that I know that we were all looking forward to. I think it may be time. We got to do some fun stuff, but, you know, I'm curious to hear, you know, we talked about it. You guys are in California, right? You guys just opened yesterday, full blown. And I think that, in addition to that, you know, we just tried to go grab something quick today, and we tried to go and do the door, and it was closed. Yeah. And so we were a little bit confused, but I think that we then realized we're in California. They may not have opened up the dining rooms yet, and so we went through drive-through, and it was fine. But I think at the end of the day, what that goes to show is that it is, you know, still really, really hard because there is the demand. Yeah. But there may not be the ability to actually staff them for a certain amount of hours or whatever that may be. And so, you know, what I'm curious to hear is, you know, we've been hearing this a lot. It's something that's very common, that is very timely. And we've been interviewing and asking this question to a lot of people. And I think that what we've been finding is that everybody has a different solution. Some people have, you know, put out a really cool commercial. They've done something like really creative. They've kind of gone the marketing route where they've tried to do something that's kind of a guerrilla marketing approach to things. Others have gone to technology to decide to kind of go through there. We've heard some technology that people are using that has been really helpful, and others are like, we're still trying to figure it out. So, you know, I guess my question is where do you guys fall, and what was your approach to, you know, something that is a problem?
So there's two huge problems in the restaurant. It's not just the restaurant space, but we'll talk about the restaurant space for sure. It's supply chain and people. And by the way, people affect supply chain, and that's one of the biggest issues, right? And so that's a daily battle for everyone. And our franchisees, like I said, long tenured franchisees, very passionate, very nimble, even through COVID. Like when we went and had kind of COVID, let's call it rolled out, right? Hit everybody. Our franchisees responded very quickly. We worked with them to help them through that process. And the same thing on this situation, right? We're always looking to share best practices to help them, both hire and retain crew. The challenge for us is we're 100% franchise system, so we can only do so much. But I would tell you that our franchisees, although it is pressure on them, they do a really good job of actually, running labor in their restaurants and having enough people on there. They create a family environment, just like we talk about in the communities, how we want them to serve the communities. They've done a good job of creating a family environment in the restaurant, which, as you know, you can hire somebody, but if you don't have a good culture within your restaurants, they're not going to last for long. So I don't think it's affected them as much as maybe some of these other brands potentially who may not have, or individual restaurants who may not have that culture. But as a franchisor, what we do is try to help equip them and walk them through those kind of challenges that they have. But, you know, the biggest thing right now in California and a lot of places is there's incentives not to necessarily go get a job. And that's something that we're going to struggle through for probably 3 to 5 more months.
And I think other things to add to that is I think, you know, when you talk about our franchisees' focus on labor, most everyone's cross-trained in the restaurants. It's a big part of the culture of Mountain Mike's. And also, I just think when you grow from virtually zero digital footprint to 42% of your orders, you're relieving some meaningful pressure when you actually make that transition. So I think that's helping us a lot, too.
Yeah, and like we talked about, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier. We're looking at other technologies, right? So to Chris's point with the app and everything, we're pushing people into mobile. And I think people in general are moving more to a mobile order than pick up the phone, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at other solutions like AI technology. We actually worked with our franchisees pre-COVID. We set them up to partner with third-party delivery, which we doubled those sales through COVID. And so all of that also takes a lot of pressure off the restaurant, whether it's ordering, whether it's delivery. So that's complementary as well. And so we're looking at other solutions.
Yeah, I guess one other thing I would just add is a lot of the innovation and thoughts that come out of our system in terms of best practices, they emanate from the franchisees. Yeah, right. As one example, our largest franchisee, who, by the way, had only 3 Mountain Mike's restaurants when we acquired the brand, he now has 20 restaurants.
Nice.
He is testing, as we speak, a call center to see how that relieves the pressure of those crew members that are answering the phone, kind of running around. And the early returns on that as a multi-unit franchisee are actually very positive. So that kind of stuff, you know, comes from within Mountain Mike's. It's a real bottoms-up approach about how we, innovate.
Yeah. And that plays on, you know, the passion for franchisees and the focus on franchisees. That's exactly how it should be. This next question, it's just because I'm interested. I feel like with the culture that you guys have built and the kind of the built-in loyalty that you have, as you mentioned, Jim, all you have to do is try the pizza and you're hooked. Maybe this is an appropriate question for Ashley, but you mentioned that, you know, the kid's face and she pulled up the picture and she showed because people posted on social. Outside of that, or, you know, just organic occurrence and happening, do you have any other touch points or how are you infusing in and leveraging social and folks talking about the brand? Or is that just happening organically?
It does happen organically, but it's also very – actually, it's Carol.
Carol.
She's our head of marketing. Yeah, actually, a very intentional strategy. And actually, we just brought on a social and loyalty manager along with the launch of our app so that we can actually drive even harder against that. But we have a pretty good social following, not anywhere near where we want it to be. Yeah, I mean, it's something we're very much focused on as we continue to drive it forward. But I don't know if you can even talk to this mic. Anything else you want to say?
I mean, I just, you know, knowing your customer is really important. So we use a lot of targeting. We want to meet our customers where they're at on social. Doesn't mean we're going to go out and create a bunch of TikToks tomorrow, but down the road, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we're very intentional. We're strategic, and we want to speak to the guest and really show them in imagery and in creative, whatever is their passion, and create that engagement. So lots of pepperoni pizza, but there's a lifestyle around Mountain Mike's. And so that's the most important thing, is that we connect with our guests through every channel.
Love it. So building on that, I think on the idea of community, because I am, I'm kind of sensing that is a really large part of what you guys do, is that you want to have baseball teams and, you know, little league baseball teams and all that being in there. I would imagine that probably presents a lot of opportunity, just because you have these people that are spending a lot of time in the locations, hopefully, right?
And well, especially the appetite. People want to get out and get back and get in the dining room. I think it's going to happen, but go ahead.
So are you guys thinking about ways to, I guess, maybe you're upselling to people or you're retargeting or things like that within the locations? I mean, we've had people that have come on and have talked about doing Wi-Fi marketing and things like that, or have you connected TV? There's all sorts of stuff you can do. Have you guys talked about any of that at all?
Not only do we talk about it, we do it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, when these guys acquired the brand, I would just say the marketing strategy, and this is pre-me, but everything I understand, the marketing strategy, which much more, I'd say old school.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not an offensive term, but more print driven. Some of the old tactics, and since they came on, we brought Carol on, they've been much more digitally focused. And I mean, actually, she targets people with connected TV, some great ads, which my favorite ad is the one that's all about the pizza, pizza the way it ought to be. But definitely moved much more to digital. How in depth do you want me to get on this?
As in depth
okay,
as you
so,
like.
So we've actually
they're strapping in.
Well, there's a whole bunch, but I would some things that even, you know, I grew up old school, right? I grew up because I'm old, like a lot of us. but I grew up with all the traditional marketing when I went to school, and some of the, you know, I worked for Yum Brands for 24 years. And so there was a particular tactic, and there was new things that I had never even seen of when I came over here that are, I don't want to name the names just because it's competitive, but things that specifically target consumers and lapse users that don't impact our franchisees spend unless people actually buy the product, which historically it was like, does this ad work? Does this? Oh, maybe. But this is like, no, it's actually, we're not spending it unless it works. And so we get great, huge return on investment that when I first saw the numbers, I'm like, that's impossible. But it's been proven out over 3 years. It's actually possible.
And you can actually measure it.
Yes.
I mean, that's one of the key things that we had thought about coming in is we had literally had, there was 0%.
Zero digital.
Of the budget was digital. I think now we're probably well over 60% when you look at that. And I think that's really been key. And plus, you can measure that return on investment. You can show that to franchisees. So not only you can have success investing your national budget or your regional budget, but you can show franchisees the return if they spend some of their own money.
Yeah.
So we've had programs we've tested out and say, hey, look how well this is doing. You know, you may want to consider allocating some of your own local store marketing budget to these digital programs. And the franchisees that are doing that are seeing very good returns.
Mm-hmm. Major initiatives as you move forward, I think that probably one of the major focuses growing the brand outside of California. You're already doing it. I would presume it's doubling down on that, but any other major initiatives as you look the rest of 2021 and beyond, what's on the top of your minds?
Yeah, it's always, there's three pillars that I just talked about this morning in the meeting that we had. We're always looking to grow sales, and how do we grow sales, right? There's different ways that we can engage new guests. And then also we're talking to our current guests through our new loyalty program to drive, you know, much more more frequency, right? So we're continuing to look at different ways to do that because we just launched the app for us. So now it's not, hey, look at this shiny object. It's how do we make that come to life? How do we actually drive more business into our franchisees' restaurants? Menu innovation, like you are, I already gave you my soapbox speech on that. We will continue to look for, I mean, we're actually working on something for Q4 right now that we're excited about, but we're always looking to do that to drive our AUVs. And just by the way, our AUVs in our restaurants, we've been growing those. I think the end of last year, it was $946,000 across the system. Our goal is well north of that. But I would tell you right now, if you took a rolling 12 months, we're over $1 million. By the end of this year, we'll definitely be well over $1 million.
Yeah, and some of the things to add to that is our top 25% of our system is now over 1.4 million, our top 50% well over 1.2 million.
Yep.
And if you look at our performance thus far this year, we have 50 franchisees or locations above 30% same store sales increase. We have 100 locations above 20% same store sales increase. So again, these are eye-popping numbers, and we have a lot of franchisees obviously wanting to double down and grow with additional locations.
Right. And then so always looking to drive that top line through a variety of different ways. The second pillar is driving profit in our restaurants. And, you know, we are 100% franchise, right? So why would we want to do that? Well, we want to do that because we want our franchisees to be here for another 43 years. We want them to leave a legacy, and we want them to reinvest in the brand. And I will tell you that before Chris and Ed came on, the previous ownership, just to be blunt, was not worried about that. They worried about, are the franchisees paying the royalties? And so there's a lot of systems and processes that are foundational that we're working on to help our franchisees drive better labor, better food costs, greater profit, because our hope and expectation is, again, they're here and then they build new restaurants. And that's the third pillar is growing, like you just said. So there's a lot of efforts around how do we continue to grow outside of California, which we are doing, but it's not just to get locations on the map. We want 100% of those restaurants to be very successful. So we're also investing in infrastructure and process to make sure every opening is a fantastic opening and those guests get a great Mountain Mike's experience.
Beautiful. Well, I would like to say as we move to close, we want to respect your time. And we also selfishly want to give enough time for us to stop at a Mountain Mike's on our way to our next meeting.
In fact, you might want to download the app right now, Ryan.
And order it. We make Zach pay for everything. So, Zach, you're on.
Zach, you can go, Zach.
Anything that we didn't ask that you think we should? Anybody? I do have one more question. Nothing? You guys clearly are kind of a representation of franchising done right. You have the right focuses on, you know, the guests and a passion for the food, a passion for the franchisees. Our community has a lot of great folks that they've probably learned something from you. So I'd like to just very quickly go around the room, top advice for anyone in the franchise community. I think we told you about our audience, just kind of a quick word of advice for folks that, you know, we just went through a super tough year and, you know, maybe it's because it was a tough year and they have advice, or maybe because there's just so much opportunity. But quick word of advice for franchise entrepreneurs.
I get to go first. Great. Well, if I were in their shoes, there's two things I would do. One is look for a winning brand. So not something that just because you see a lot of television ads or whatever it is, you go, that's a sexy brand. Look for a winning brand that has a strong business model, both today and in the future. And the second piece is make sure that the ownership and leadership team are really serving the franchisees. And I would challenge any potential or prospective franchisee to call any of our franchisees and ask them that question. And I'm very confident I know what they would say. It's a good thing, by the way. Right. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and just to add to that, you know, I think heading into the pandemic, a lot of people viewed pizza as pretty darn boring. We never did. It's been exciting from the get-go. Yep. It looks pretty exciting now, right? Sometimes boring, what's perceived as boring, is really a great business opportunity. It's a big market. It's now, you know, re-energized and growing at record rates. And there's a lot of opportunity that remains in the pizza space. So that's, again, I would echo those sentiments.
Yeah.
Two great points. I guess the only thing I'd add is focus on a team and a brand that is both strong on the guest-facing side of the business as well as the franchise operations side of the business. Because if you can execute, needless to say, if you can execute on those two, you're going to do very, very well.
Beautiful. Well said. Any final thoughts?
Wonderful words of advice, gentlemen. We really appreciate you guys having us into the office. I have the app downloaded and ready to fire away. So I'm looking forward to checking this out. And thanks again, everybody, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
As we're running the post roll, I want to apologize to Carol for getting her name wrong. But gentlemen, phenomenal episode. You're welcome back anytime. We're going to follow up with you in about, I don't know, 6 months. We'll see how you're doing. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Cheers.